All right, Shabbos, so we're continuing our session tonight. Actually, what I'd like to try to do tonight is finish up the section on Ksiva and Mechika. So if I remember correctly, I believe we left off on page 47 last time. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. All right, so if you remember again, so just on a most basic level, let's just review our definitions. Right. So the definition of Mechika of Ksiva is writing anything that is either a meaningful number, meaningful symbol, or just conveys a defined message. And okay, obviously we did more than that, but and then mechika is the erasure of that. We also saw one very interesting one, and again the idea of mechika is erasing writing in order to go ahead and make room for additional writing. So erasing just for the sake of erasing is not going to go ahead and be the malacha, but erasing for the sake of being able to clear space in order to write. Ultimately, again, there's plenty of room. So that is ultimately what becomes problematic. I just wanted to point out, because actually somebody mentioned to me, I forgot who brought this up, the tremendous chiddush that he had was this incredible case. Remember again, where if you have an extra letter in a Sefer Torah, right, and you erase the extra letter, that could actually be a form of ksiva and not mechika. Right, because even though I'm erasing the letter, but again, it would be chayiv for that form of mechika, even though intention is not to write something new, but by erasing it, you're making the Sefer Torah valid, and that act of validating the Sefer Torah is in and of itself problematic. Okay, so in section Beis, which began on page 46, he was talking about what does one do in a situation of where you need to write. Let's say for some type of pikuach nefesh, some type of danger to life, or some type of other circumstance like this. So let's pick up. I believe we left off in the middle of page 47. Haksiva sha'asra Torah, right? I think it looks right.
I think we did
that paragraph. We started ladas. All right, you know what? Let's go back to ksiva just for a second because it's actually going to be very important. Haksiva sha'asra Torah. So remember again, in order for writing to be problematic, the writing itself has to last for some amount of time. So therefore again, in the classic sense, if you write with a pen or with a pencil, right, on a piece of paper, so again, that's called ksiva. Now again, what's the chiddush in that? You might have thought that maybe a pencil, right, which is more easily erasable than ink, would not be problematic. But again, since the idea over here is, what happens when you write something in pencil? How long does it remain?
Until you
want to remove it. In other words, the fact that it's easily removable does not make it not ksiva. Right, that does not take away from the fact that it's ksiva. This is very important. So the idea is, even if you have something which is easily erasable, as long as it's something that's going to remain until actively erased, halach l'maisa, that is an issue of ksiva. Aval, he gives other examples. Aval akosei b'mei peros shetzivaim doa toch zman katzar. Let's say, for example, you write with fruit juice. Now he uses fruit juice because if you were to use fruit juice as a type of ink, over time it would simply fade on its own. O shekosei b'eit. Or you write with a pen, but you write with a pen on a leaf that's going to wither. So what's interesting over here is as follows. In order to violate kosev midoraisa, you need to write with a permanent ink. When I call permanent, it does not last forever, but for a foreseeable future, it's going to last. And on a surface that will endure. So if you're missing either one of those two things, you do not have the malacha doraisa. So if you write with fruit juices, right, which are going to fade, then ultimately, again, no malacha d'oraisa. Or even if you write with regular ink, but you're writing on a leaf, which is going to wither, so no malacha d'oraisa. Now he gives another interesting point over here. O shekosef ayidei cream or sukarios osios shaluga. Or what happens if you write on a cake with cream, right? Or you write on a cake with candies over be'isr chachamim. Obviously, again, now we're going to talk about cake in just a little bit. But if you were to write, let's say you have a cake for Shabbos and it's somebody's birthday. You want to write happy birthday on the cake. Mom, she's writing it on Shabbos. So that is going to be an Isser D'Rabbanan. Again, remember, it won't be Doraisa. Because remember, like most of Hilchos Shabbos, the Doraisa has a specific definition. So in terms of writing, the Doraisa will be a permanent ink on a permanent surface. If you're missing either one of those two things, you've relegated the malacha to the level of a dirabanan. So therefore, yeah, what are we going to say, Elio?
What defines permanent?
So I think
on the cake, to me, is like very permanent. I mean, the material that they're using is permanent.
Cream, I think the assumption is any food item, I guess those things can't last for a long time, right? But that's going to be actually a different issue we're going to see, because once you're writing with food, that may have its own. He seems to say, I think the definition of something permanent is also something that like sinks in to the item that you're writing upon. Right, when you write on a piece of paper, again, I don't know the science of it, but at least the optic-wise, it appears that the ink is taking hold in the paper itself, as opposed to a cream, which is really just sitting on top, and really, again, you know, there's no real chibur.
Maybe food is not supposed to last so long. Anymore.
Right, that's true.
You're
also,
you write it with the intention that someone's going to eat.
So what's interesting about that is the question is that what makes it impermanent? Like, in other words, let's say I write something in pencil with the intention that someone's going to erase it. Right? So obviously, that I think we'd all agree that wouldn't make it impermanent. So right, the fact that it's going to be... Now again, we're going to see cakes have a different potential kula, which we'll get to in just a little bit. So it goes on. L'da'as, rova poskim. Isra k'siva me'atora chal b'chol ha'safos. Now this is actually very interesting. The majority opinion is it does not matter what language you are writing in, right? Whatever language you're writing in, whatever alphabet you're using, halacha lemaisa, there is a prohibition of kosev. Uladas kama poskim, rak misha kosev ba'osios haksheros le'sefer Torah over be'isr Torah. Aval kosev ba'osios acheros b'loazes o be'ivris ba'osios ksav. Over be'isr chachamim bilvat. So this is actually pretty amazing. He quotes over this position of the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah holds that the only time you violate biblical ksiva, incredible, is when you write in Sefer Torah script, which is wild, right? Now, Bepashtas, what's his logic for that? What would you say? What's the logic for that?
That was ksiva in the
business. Right. So again, that's what we would assume. In other words, I guess he's operating under the assumption, which is interesting as well, that remember, ksiva comes from the boards. The way they would do it on the boards is they would use aleph-based letters, right? To say aleph, aleph, you know, so you know exactly which board went where. And he's assuming, I guess, that Bepashtos, they use the same type of print or script that is used in the Sefer Torah. So again, this is not the majority opinion, right? The majority opinion is the Rambam, who says any type of writing, any type of alphabet, as long as it's meaningful, as long as it's meaningful, is going to be an issue of ksiva. The reason, so why does he quote this Or Zeruah? So I'll say one of the important things to learn in halacha in general is sometimes you come across a more lenient opinion, and that lenient opinion is not going to be relied upon. But then in other circumstances, when you are looking for a leniency, you may want to be mitzaref. You may want to add in certain additional lenient opinions in order to kind of tilt the case. So this is important. So you might have situations where I need a particular leniency that Or Zeruah might be good to have in one's back pocket. Just an interesting point. Okay, let's go on. Hanitzrach lichto l'tzrach pikuach nefesh. What happens if someone has to write for the purpose of pikuach nefesh, a life-saving situation? Remember again, we saw this in last year, a doctor, right? The army, a soldier, where again, things have to be written down, and if they're not written down and not written down in the right way, there could be, God forbid, a threat to life. Im in chashash sha'ikov yigrom l'sakana, yema'it be'isr v'yichtov b'shine b'yatzmol. So again, so there's two cases over here. Sometimes I may have to write for pikuach nefesh, but at the end of the day, I could also take my time in doing it. So I think like the doctor is like a good example of that, right? The doctor has to write, the doctor sees the patient, he has to write up his notes. He doesn't have to write up his notes in 3 minutes. He just has to get it done before the information escapes his memory. So
what about a prescription?
I'm sorry? A prescription, right? So the Panini Halacha writes as follows. He says, in that case, better to write with some type of shinui. For example, the other hand. Now, that presupposes that you could, you know, get out something legible with your other hand.
Well, with the doctor.
Well, doctor, maybe it doesn't matter for the doctors, right? But it has to be at least, it has to be legible, right? It has to be usable. But his point over here is, sometimes you have to write, but I don't need to get it done this second. So if there's a little bit more time, you could do it with a shinui. And we spoke about this last year. Shinui can mean writing with your other hand. Shinui could also mean holding the pen differently. Right, so when I normally write, you know, I hold the pen like this. So right, maybe a shinui is like this, right, or a shinui is like this. So again, if you have the time to navigate that, again, what does a shinui do? What does in general? What does shinui do?
changes the norm.
It changes the norm. But what is it halachically? What is a shinui doing? Right. It's no longer a daraisa. So remember again, it's very important. Like a shinui doesn't make it mutter, but what a shinui does do is it downgrades it from a daraisa to a dirabanan. So in a case, and in a case of need, one is allowed to violate a dirabanan.
The assumption here is that there's no one, like an assistant that you can.
Correct. Obviously, because, and this is an important point, obviously, if it's a choice between the doctor writing with the shinui or asking a non-Jew to write down, of course you're going to ask the non-Jew. Now, interestingly enough, remember, asking a non-Jew is also an Issa D'Rabbanan. Right? Rabbi Richter just spoke about this on Yom Tov. You know, so obviously, so in other words,
is that considered a shinui or not? It's not.
That's not a shinui. That. But it would still be better. In other words, if it's a choice between a Jew doing a malacha with a shinui versus asking a non-Jew, you would still ask a non-Jew.
Even though they're both
drabanans. Because a drabanan that's being committed under my direction but not by me is still better than a drabanan that I'm committing myself.
Is there a situation to ask him to do it before Shabbos?
So, of course. Or is that the best? Correct. If the doctor says before Shabbos, by the way, you know, he says to his non-Jewish resident or non-Jewish nurse, do me a favor, on Shabbos, I'm not going to write down the notes. Come with me to the patients, right? And you write down the notes, or I'll come right out and I'll dictate it to you and you'll write it down. Sure. That definitely minimizes. Again,
it doesn't change if you.
But it's a lesser degree of Amira La'akum if you communicate it before Shabbos and if you communicate it on Shabbos. It's still usher, but in the hierarchy of things, it's a lesser degree of a Dirabanan. Again, still, you remember, in all of these cases, you're going to run into problems no matter how you're doing it. That's why he's saying, but I'm allowed to do it, actually obligated to do it because it's Pikuach Nefesh. All right.
So yeah, there are times of like when a tzala comes, you know, they'll have like the non-Jew with them, but the non-Jew's not the one only doing like the writing, you know, like so they'll have like the Jews writing down the blood pressure and stuff.
Right.
You
know? So a lot of times, so remember, Hatzalah is not a good example
because
Hatzalah is often dealing with time emergent stuff, right? In other words, that's why he gives the example. Yeah. Like a doctor in a hospital is dealing with things that are sakanas nefashos, but the sakana may not be acute in this moment.
Okay.
Right? As opposed to Hatzalah first responders. So right. First responders are always responding to acute situations. So that's going to be that if they have to start saying, you know, write down blood pressure. No. If you have to start dictating, writing down blood pressure, chances are something's going to go wrong.
Right.
That's why, in general, Hatzalah has their own, you know, it's interesting. People often think that, like, the halachos for doctors and first responder like Hatzalah are the same. They're really not the same. They're really like separate sets of halachas. Also, big differences between volunteers and paid professionals. Oh. So, we'll touch on that. Not in Ksiva, but we'll touch on it in other things. All right. So, therefore, he says, so now in a case where, let's say, so this is an interesting scenario. The doctor is, or the soldier is not, has to write. So what Rav Melamed is saying is the only way he has to write, if it's possible to write in a way which minimizes prohibition, do that. With your change your hand, do it with a little bit of a shinui. He goes on, he says, Kasher tzarech lichtov. So he goes on, he says, L'chatrila, now this is interesting, he says, L'chatrila, yesh lahasig eight Shabbat. Right? So he says, get a Shabbos pen. And by the way, you can't get it at Staples, right? So remember, this is the Tzomet Institute in Eretz Yisrael. The ones who came up with the Shabbos microphone and all this other. So they have a Shabbos pen. What does a Shabbos pen do? Hainu 8, Shaksav Shalom Nimchak Me'atzmo Toch Mispar Yomim. Essentially, it's disappearing ink. Now, it doesn't disappear immediately. It disappears a couple of days from now. So that way, again, you take the notes you need to take to on Shabbos, but it's not a Doraisa. Why is it not a Doraisa? Because at the end of the day, it's not permanent. So because it's not permanent, it's a Derabbanan, which, of course, you're allowed to do in a case of Sakanas Nefashos. Shek Sivasva Asura Medivrei Chachamim Bilvad. So obviously, you have, and so again, you have disappearing ink. Now, obviously, if the ink is going to disappear in an hour, that's not very helpful to you. But again, if you could have disappearing ink within a couple of days, that could absolutely be tremendously beneficial on Shabbos, and any writing that you do would only be a Derabbanan. Now, to be clear, any writing you do with that pen is a drabana, right? In other words, even if you're not a doctor or not a soldier if you were to take it and just start writing your name, it's drabanan. Obviously, we're not going to violate drabanans. But in the case of sakanas tefashos, a drabanan absolutely, again, could be dispensed with. Now he goes on, kashet sarach lichtov machshir. What happens if a doctor has to type? Right, so now let's say again, the doctor or the soldier has to input information into a computer. So remember again, we saw in the last shiur, just interestingly enough, according to the opinions who hold that electricity and the use of a computer is only dirabanan anyway, so it could very well be that using a computer may be preferable ultimately again to writing anyway. But again, that's not the majority opinion. The majority opinion is that the use of electricity is an isra daraisa, and that's how we're going to approach this. So what happens if a doctor has to type things in, the soldier has to type things in? Kisha efshar nachon lahaklid, page 48, bishinui. Kigon begav haetzba, o beezras kapit, kiyotse bazeh, v'chein adif lichtov baosios ksav. So interestingly enough, so if you have to type, what should you do? Shinoi. Shinoi. So again, I don't know how do I tell you, he says you type with your knuckles or type with a spoon. Now again, remember, all of this is presupposing that although the writing has to get done, there's not a emergency time element to the writing, right? In other words, that the doctor has to get it done today, but it doesn't have to be done in 3 minutes. The soldier has to get the information written down, but it has to be done. Obviously, if it has to get done now, we're talking about sakanas nefashos, you write normally. Rabbi Lama is just talking about a case where you have the time to be able to maneuver a little bit, so write it with a shinoi. Typing, write it with a shinoi. Now he says, v'chin adiv lichtov ba'osios ksav. Now here he explicitly says, if there is a choice between writing with a pen and a computer, write with a pen. Right? Why? Because remember, writing with a computer brings with it two issues. Number one, ksiva, and also havara, potential kindling because of use of electricity. So that's just an interesting idea. So, you know, again, so therefore, let's finish. The sikum. He says, therefore, let's summarize. Kashemukrachim lichtol zrach pikuach nefesh. When one has to write on Shabbos, because again, there's a danger to life. Adif lichtov be'et Shabbat. It is obviously best to get your Shabbos pen and to use that. Shelekol hadeo saksiva bo asurim dibre chambilva. Because everyone agrees that with a Shabbos pen, right, at most, what's your issue? At most, your issue is a drabanon. Okay, she'afshar nachon lichtov bo b'shinui. And when possible, utilize that Shabbos pen, but with a shinui. With a shinoi, okay? Ukesha'in efsharos lichtov be'et Shabbat. What happens if you can't use your Shabbos pen? Right? What happens if that can't happen? Efshar lichtov lefiat zorech b'machashev o be'et ragyo. So again, when you can't use your Shabbos pen, now what does that mean? For example, let's say there's a time element over here. The writing needs to get done right now. So ultimately, again, you could type if you need to on a computer, or you could use a regular pen. But ultimately, again, one should try to go ahead and employ a shinui to the best of their ability. Okay, incredible. So we'll say, so that's an interesting case. Obviously, that this is a sakanas nefashos type case, but interesting. So we'll say, look at section Gimel.
We said last time that like voice notes and voice attacks are the same with following conceivable.
Correct. Right? That is correct. Yeah. Correct.
What was that?
Voice notes.
Yeah.
Voice notes could also potentially fall under the category of ksiva, of writing.
Oh,
because
really?
It is the creation, in other words, it's the creation of any type of meaningful messaging. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so voice would also be problematic. Correct.
Is it?
The dry erase boards, would they be darabanan or daraisa? Because like you're writing something, the writing would be kayama, but it's not normal for it to be kayama because there's normally erased.
I think it's still called the definition of kayama is really anything that if you don't touch it, it's going to remain.
Even though
it's omeid, yeah, because I think like I go back to like, I think you could tie it in the same thing with pencil. I think right the whole you sold. I don't really use pencils, but like the
pencil's
whole
not meant to be erased.
It no,
gives you the opportunity to erase.
But why does a person use a pencil over a pen?
In case you make a mistake, so you can fix it.
But it's almost like the mahus of a pencil. In other words, no one ever writes anything of permanence in a pencil. I don't think so. Right? No one ever signs. Right? No one ever signs a document. With
a
pencil.
During yeshiva, you take notes with a pencil because in case you make a mistake, you go erase it and fix it.
So. Right, but I think if left untouched,
it wouldn't disappear.
It remains. I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know. To me, a pencil and a dry erase board are the same thing. Both represent the type of writing that, by definition, is made to be erased if it needs to be erased. I think. Yeah, I don't know. I'll look at it. I don't know. Maybe he quotes dry erase boards. I don't think so. I don't know. To me, it's based on the definition, is as long as it's we're calling permanent. Again, I'm saying we're using also the word permanent in a little bit of a looser fashion also. But I think it's any type of writing where the ink and the object upon the, if it's untampered with, it's going to remain. I think halachically that's permanent. I think. So let's take a look at paragraph Gimel. So this is very interesting. So the title over here is Mechiku Ksiva B'Derech Agov. So literally, again, writing and erasing, kind of like Derech Agov means like happenstance. You'll see what it means in just a moment. So they both say, this is actually a great case because this comes up all the time. Uga Shekasva La Osios Aide Krim Osukarios Kitantinos Okiyotsevaza. You have a cake and there's writing on the cake. Right? The writing is cream, the writing is with candies, whatever it might be. So what's the halacha? Aser lechotcha b'makom osios. You should not cut the cake on the letters. Right? Why? Because ultimately, again, the act of cutting the cake on the letters, by definition, is erasing the letters.
You say on, you mean like letters A's like that here.
Oh, no, we're going to talk about that in just a second. Right? What he's talking about right now over here is actually destroying the letter with your cutting. Correct. V'chein, im tzairu aleha tzuros balos mashmos. Or for example, let's say the cake doesn't have writing, but the cake has pictures. So remember again, destruction of letters and destruction of pictures are the same thing. They're both mechika. So you cannot go ahead and cut into an image on a cake. Kimo eitz, obayis, asu l'chotcha b'makom atzuros. So you can't go ahead and cut in a way that destroys the letters. You can't cut in a way that destroys the images. Now, interestingly enough, he says, even though, why are you cutting the letters, right? Why am I doing this? To eat the cake, right? In other words, it's not the pshat that, like, I'm erasing anything in order to write something else over there. This is really only being done for consumption purposes. So this is very important. So remember again, so Malamed is saying this is quote unquote only an Issa D'Rabbanan, right? And obviously it's not going to be a D'Oraisa for two reasons, right? What are the two reasons? Number one, it's not permanent, right? Neither the quote unquote ink nor the surface is permanent. That's number one. And number two, when you cut through the letters, you cut through the image, my goal is not to create space to write something new. My goal is to eat. So the act of destroying letters or images on a cake is going to be a d'rabbanan. Aval, and David, this is your point, lachtoch bein ha'osios mutter. If you want to cut in between the letters, that's fine. So it says, happy birthday, Adam David. And right, you told the bakery to go ahead and space the letters. So that's fine. You know, you can eat. Now, interestingly enough, remember, we don't look at destruction of a word as erasure. We look at destruction of letters as erasure. So as long as you are taking out the whole letter, right, and not destroying a letter, totally fine.
So cursive would be a problem.
Yeah. Right. Unless you have disconnected cursive. It's like a triple score Scrabble, you know. But I don't think we're worried about that. Because remember, again,
we're worried about that when we create letters.
Like correct. You create it. But in this, because remember, we're talking about Dirabanans over here. Already, you're starting out at the level of Dirabanan. So therefore, as long as I'm not actively destroying anything, I'm good, right? So I don't know. You know, you take out one of the letters and it has another. I don't think we're concerned about that. So he goes on. Aval lachta bin alzios motor biavshal yedei kach mafridim es hamila lechalokim ein isra mechika kasher osios noso shenos. So it's very important. Even though, as Rechmiel just mentioned, even though when I cut in between the letters, so I am dividing a word, right? I'm dividing a word. So Rav Melamed says that's not a problem. Mechika is when you destroy, right, or erase a word or an image. Removing words, and therefore by definition breaking apart, removing letters, and therefore breaking apart words, is not a problem.
Not even a
Derabanan. He says, Lefichach, Harotzim lahakin uga kuzu l'shabbos. Therefore, again, halacha says if you want a birthday cake or any cake with writing for it on, with it on Shabbos, yachinu osa ba'ofen sheniting yeh lachtok as prusa sabin osios fatsuros. So this is very interesting. So remember again, what Rav Melamed is saying over here is like, so if you notice, by the way, you know, like in Baltimore, like a lot of the bakeries are makbid to write on like a piece of plastic. So you could just take off the piece of plastic. If you notice, Rav Melamed says you don't have to do that. He's like, it is totally fine as long as you're cutting in between letters. So you see from here, it's not even a derabanan. Right? He says, lechatchila is totally mutter. The iser derabanan is when you're cutting into letters. But if you space it enough so that essentially every slice, you know, gets its own letter, that is totally fine.
I feel like what would happen if you say like spaced out the letters, at some point there's going to be some type of mistake or someone's not going
to you have to be a chacham, you know, you got to plan it out. But again, remember, we have this flexibility because it's a drabanon. That's why we have this level of flexibility. So the achakach, yamotro lachol asaprusos, limrol shahilos and tibat vasa osios, shahoyol vaoskim ba'achila einze nechshavochim. Now this is very important, but what about the fact, one second, what about the fact that, let's say again, I take for myself, you know, the H slice, right? I took the H of happy birthday, and now what am I going to do? I'm going to eat it, and when I eat it, I'm erasing the letter. So remember, eating is never a malacha. So therefore, and this is very important, right? Because you could always taina, what happens if I just have, you know, just a cupcake that has an image on top? So I'm not allowed to take a bite out of it. That means it's mochek. No, because eating is called eating. Eating is not called erasing. Very important halacha.
You have to be careful cutting if there's like flowers.
Images also, correct. So it's whether it's images or whether it's, yes. So if like if you have a birthday with no writing, but you have flowers on it, you'd have to be careful not to cut in the middle of the flower. The flour on the slice, the whole flour on the slice.
But when using a fork, is that part of the achila?
That's called achila. Yeah, you are not mechuyev to take it with your hands and put it in. Yeah, that's called, your fork is considered to be actually, halachically, is an extension of your hand. That's why even like bora, which we'll get to in all these things like that, if you're using your fork, that's your hand. Halachically, that's your hand.
But as long as the flour is like a picture, but if the flour is like sticking out of the cake...
Oh, so hold on.
That's not what we're talking about.
So, no.
We're talking about the image.
It could also be if you actually have like a frosting flour. I mean, I actually have a piece of, right? I have frosting on top. That is the same way that if you have frosting writing. But it's also frosting writing. So if it's just, yes, obviously if you have an image, like now they do this with cakes, right? We actually get like a picture, but he's saying even without the picture, right? Even without the picture, if halacha l'maaseh again, you have a frosting flower, frosting words, you have to be careful not to cut those apart. Now he says something very interesting. He says, U'b'shas adchak, k'she'in efsharus acharis lechol me'auga. And he says, let's say again, all you have is this cake and you can't cut in between the letters. You can't cut in between the letters. So he says, "Mutar lachtoch gam b'makom ha'osios v'atzuros." B'diavad, you could even cut through the letters. You could even cut through the letters. Now, what's the logic behind that? If you take a look on page 49, we'll do one more paragraph, then we'll stop, because I don't know if any of the chabras and davar ma'ariv, but we'll just do this last paragraph, then we'll stop. He says, "Kashera osios." I'm on page 49. "Kashera osios o atzuros sha'ala ugos chutbu b'chomer shemimenu asuyos ha'ugos kigon ha'osios shebebiskitim ein israel lachtoch osan olu shavon shol ve'ein la'osios ele chashivos." So this is an interesting kula that's actually brought down by the Aruch HaShulchan as well. The Aruch HaShulchan says the only time that it is really usur to cut through letters or images on a cake is when the letters or images are made of something different than the cake. But if the letters and images are made of the same, we'll call it ingredient material, as the cake itself, then we don't really view it as letters and images. Instead, what do we view it as?
Cake.
It's cake. It's cake.
Sometimes the brand of the actual cookie or chocolate is on the thing.
It's on the thing, right. So, and that goes back to your point also. That's why there may be a distinction here, like between, let's say, a flour that's made out of icing, or even writing that's made out of icing, then let's say something that is distinct. So this is very important. So again, we're going to stop over here for tonight, but what I want to just kind of end off with over here is, obviously in an ideal sense, if you're going to have a cake with writing or images on Shabbos, it is best not to cut through the writing and not to cut through the images. That is for sure ideal l'chatchila. Absolutely no problem in between, right, cutting in between letters and in between images. That's not a problem. But halacha l'maaseh, when possible, to avoid actual destruction of the letters and images, you should do that. Bidi Eved. Now, it's interesting to talk about like a case of a Bidi Eved in cake. Sometimes I really need my cake. So he says, interestingly enough, if the writing or the images is what we'll call cake material. It's like icing is cake material, right? Because cake often has icing. If that's what the writing or that's what the image is made of, Bidi Eved, you could say it's called cake. We're not going to look at it as images or writing and cake, but rather it's all called cake. And therefore, halach l'maaseh, again, b'di'eved, one would go ahead and be able to cut through it. So that's why, again, I think ideally, like the way it's often done here in town with the writing on the plastic piece, that's definitely the best. That's the ideal. But should you be in a situation where that didn't happen, I think 9.9 out of 10 times, writing and images are from cake material. So because that b'di'eved, if there's no way to cut around, you could cut through as well. You can have your cake and eat it too.
If there's a border, aren't you breaking up the border?
I think the border, I think, is easy because the border is clearly part of the cake itself. I don't think anyone would call the border like additional images or writing. I think.
Okay. If it's like flowers and leaves, it's not considered like.